So I mentioned last week that we were going to start a series on life in the Spirit, and that's a continuation of our time in Romans. And so, as promised, that's where we're going to go this week. And as I was preparing for this time and thinking about, don't worry, that's just my kids trying to escape. thinking about this new space and the provision that it is, and thinking about just all of the things that come with it, obviously really thankful for the ability to be here, thankful for you guys, and thankful for everybody that helped get us from there to here. I'm thankful for the past 8.5 years at Mount Vernon Place, and just how God provided so faithfully for us there, and just all the different seasons in that one place. And I'm excited for new seasons here, and I do believe that we're coming into one. And as we think about that, I just was thinking today about this question, you know, what do we have to look forward to, and what do we have to be excited about and in anticipation of? And the funny thing is, I was thinking about this space, and a lot of the things that have been coming to mind as we were weighing whether to move here or not, and just what that would look like, were very practical things. Things like, how does the space compare to the one that we're in? How will there be an improvement? How will it perhaps require some things of us that that space didn't? You know, what are the new challenges that we might face moving here? So that's just stuff that you know, we were kind of looking at the ins and outs of. And as you can tell, there are a lot of really practical things that we can look at and say, God really just kind of gave us an upgrade. The building's not falling apart, so that's a good thing. we have air conditioning. That's awesome. We have a lot of stuff accessible on this one floor. That is really great. There are a lot of perks. There are a lot of advantages. And I think up until this point, I was just thinking about those practical things and really thankful for them. And I just, at the same time, it's really interesting because this building, this space is, I don't know if you feel this way, but it doesn't feel like that much is different. Anybody? Like, here we are, second floor of a big old church in Baltimore with tall ceilings. The choir loft. there's a lot of similarities. It's a very similar setup. And it's like, yeah, it's really not that different. And if we think about it, it's like, yes, it's exciting to be in this new place. It's exciting to have those very practical upgrades. It's exciting to know that we have a lease that we can look to and say, okay, this is going to help us have some security, not wondering if we're going to be here next month, that sort of thing. But I was thinking, like, what has really changed? What has really changed for us? Like, outside of those kind of small, important, but still small practical things. And I was thinking, like, you know, maybe there's some hype that comes with kind of being in a new building. And even we might be tempted to over-spiritualize the move, you know, like, and make some lesson out of it. And I didn't feel like God really gave that to me. Maybe he will, and in fact, I believe that there are going to be spiritually significant things that God speaks to us about as it relates to this transition, this change. And maybe you've already heard some of those things, and if he spoke those things to you, then I'm not trying to minimize any of that. But I was actually telling somebody that I didn't have an awareness of that to any degree coming into today. So, but today God spoke something to me that I felt like was pretty important. And as it relates to us celebrating today, yes, we are celebrating God's provision here. But it's so much more than this. It's so much more than this. Like, if we want to have enthusiasm and we want to have excitement and we want to have joy and celebration today, I feel like God is saying, in fact, the similarities between there and here, I feel like there's more of them than not. I feel like God is wanting to say through that actually not that much is different. And so we don't really need to make it some like spiritual lesson to take home for us to be able to apply to our lives to move forward, to motivate us. But the thing that I believe God wants us to hone in on and to celebrate today is the significance that comes not from a place, but the significance that comes from his presence with us. And so the significance is right here. It's right here. It's sitting in these seats. It's this family together. It's his church that we're a part of. That's the significance. And it's, yes, it's great that we have a space. But the things to look forward in this new season have very little to do with this building, per se. And they have to do with, more than anything, the Spirit of God residing in his people. The Spirit of God going with us here. The Spirit of God going ahead of us here. The Spirit of God leading us to this place. And even that, for me, that is one of the biggest things. I was reflecting about this last week. I shared some of this idea of like, you know, God giving you things that you didn't ask for. Don't be fooled to believe that we weren't asking for this. We were. We've prayed many times, countless times. In fact, if anything, we were kind of at a place where it was just kind of like, okay, even our prayers themselves aren't going to make this happen. If it's going to happen, God, you're going to bring it about. And so we stopped kind of making that a priority in prayer, if you will. Making that central agenda, we need to find a new space. Maybe we were just a little tired, or maybe it was just like, okay, it's going to happen when it's going to happen. And this really did happen that way. You know, it was a couple of very simple conversations, and then movement that didn't coincide with the energy that we put in, but was seemingly going at a speed that we had to catch up with, actually. Like, I was a little uncomfortable because after the first conversation with the church here, they're like, okay, well, we're ready for you when you're ready. I was like, well, I should probably talk to our people first, you know? I should probably at least give them some time to think about it. That's kind of how we like to do things. But they were already ready for us. And so, if anything, it felt like, okay, God, you're moving this along, and we're going to need to catch up to it. I need to catch up to the thought that this may actually happen, and may actually happen sooner than we think. And so when I think of all the times we've prayed and thought about and considered and weighed potentially moving compared to this time, it was a lot less effort. I mean, the move itself was, you know, was some work, but God made it happen, you know. And I look at that and I see his move, and I see him going ahead of us here. And it's not so much a place, it's his presence. It's his presence leading us. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we were looking for more than, you know, is it going to work on all these different levels? It was, God, is this where you want us to be? And I'm not going to say this place isn't important, because I believe it is, and I believe it will be, and I think we'll look back and see that. But more than anything, it's his presence. So we could be here or we could be there. But we have the Spirit of God with us and in us and leading us. And I just felt like God was reminding me today that that is what we have to be excited about. Like this stuff is superficial compared to that. That the presence of God resides with his people. I want to read this. This is from, you might have heard me talk about it, The Normal Christian Life, Watchman Nee. Highly recommend getting a copy and giving it a read. I think it could be a really good supplemental kind of devotional if you're looking for one, or just something to go through if you need a book to read. But I want to read this, and this is him talking about this very thing. The fact that I think, can get lost in moments like these. The fact of, more than anything, the significance that comes from the Spirit of God being with us. He says, unfortunately, we are apt to esteem our privileges lightly by reason of sheer abundance. And he's talking about what we have in Christ, what we've been given, what has been earned for us through Jesus. Those are the privileges. To esteem those lightly by reason of sheer abundance. Anyone? That's kind of his way of saying what I've said before. The gospel is better than we think. The Old Testament saints, who were not as favored as we are, could appreciate more readily than we do the preciousness of the gift of the outpoured Spirit. In their day, it was a gift given only to the few, chiefly to priests, judges, kings, and prophets, whereas now it is the portion of every child of God. Think. We who are mere non-entities can have the same Spirit resting upon us as rested upon Moses, the friend of God, upon David, the beloved king, and upon Elijah, the mighty prophet. By receiving the gift of the outpoured Holy Spirit, we join the ranks of God's chosen servants of the Old Testament dispensation. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I imagine part of us taking this lightly is not exactly thinking of ourselves in the same company. But if the presence that made them who they were is with you and I, then we are in the same company, aren't we? He says, once we see the value of this gift of God and realize, too, our deep need of it, we shall immediately ask, how can I receive the Holy Spirit in this way to equip me with spiritual gifts and to empower me for God's service? Upon that basis, upon what basis has the Spirit of God been given to his children? And we're going to talk more about that. I'm thankful that this conversation and the subject of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is not unfamiliar to our family. And yet there is more, isn't there? There's more for us to believe. There's more for us to receive. There's more for us to see. And I believe God wants to take us into a time of understanding and a time of, through that understanding, experience. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I'm desiring. I remember a time in the life of our church when we were two spaces ago meeting on Charles Street in a storefront. And I remember us having a Bible study, and we were in the book of John, and we got to the place where Jesus is beginning to prepare his disciples for his journey to the cross, and obviously they're not understanding a lot of it. But Jesus begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. And honestly, it was kind of awkward in this Bible study because we didn't know what to do with that section of Scripture. And the anticipation and the intimacy by which Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit that he was going to be sending. And it opened up a very interesting conversation for us as a group. And I felt like it was helpful in some sense, but also very enlightening for where we were at. And the conversation essentially went like this. Yeah, we don't really know the Holy Spirit that way. And some talked about how we were talking about why is that, and for many of us there was this idea that the Holy Spirit hadn't really been discussed in many of the church environments that we had been in. Is that weird? Has anybody experienced that? Okay. It's weird. And unfortunately, it's all too familiar for the church. It's like the Holy Spirit is that very distant relative that you know is there. You've heard about, someone mentioned their name once or twice. But that's it. And you might go see them one day. I think that's how it is for much of the church, which is really strange. And I'm thankful that we've come away since then. And I remember even after that discussion, I don't remember it being so weird at the time. It's weird for me now to think that that conversation was the majority of our experience in that moment. And I'm thankful that we're not there anymore. That we can probably say the majority of our experience is that we've come to know that the Holy Spirit is not a distant relative, this mysterious being that is hard to get and understand and to communicate with, but in fact the Holy Spirit is integral to our life in God and vital to what he's called us to. And if we're going to get anywhere, if we're going to do anything that is worth doing for the kingdom of God, that it's going to have to be through the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. You guys with me? I hope I'm not putting you to sleep. And so we're going to spend some time just digging into that. And I do think that regardless of where we're at with that knowledge and experience, that we all have room to grow, obviously. And I believe that it's vital, right, that we don't just have some concepts and ideas about the Holy Spirit, but that we understand what it means to have the presence of God with us all the time. Like, it's one of the things that will help us to not see moments like this, but let me say it this way, to help us see moments like this in the right way. In the right way. It's the Holy Spirit with us, and our awareness and understanding of that, and even when we don't feel it, our faith in the promise of God and his word to remain true, to be with us, that will help us to see Not just moments like this, but moments in our day-to-day, moments of need, moments of impact, moments where we need to depend on Him in the right way. It's this beautiful thing, but it's this thing that requires something of us. It requires an understanding. It requires an awareness. It requires a cooperation. And so this thing called life in the Spirit, it's actually where we are to be made. It is what all of this life is meant to be now in light of what Jesus has done on the cross and in light of what he did in sending the Spirit. So life in the Spirit is meant to be the normal Christian life. And so I want us to spend some time in the coming days to talk about some of the aspects of that, ins and outs of that. And the reason we're jumping off into this segment is because when we read Romans, and we might read that here in a minute, we get to really the pinnacle of this argument and or case, if you will, for the gospel and the work of God and what it's accomplished. And the pinnacle of that is really in Romans 8. It's not in Romans 16. It's in Romans 8. It's right in the middle of the book. And the pinnacle of that is life in the Spirit. And everything that Paul has been saying up to that point is building to this place of provision that is the Spirit of God with us and in us, empowering us to live. So, when we get to Romans 8, it's pretty important that we understand what that life is like. And I think Romans begins to tell us about that, but it's very specific. And so, I think it's worth actually branching out from Romans a little bit to other places. And then you start to realize, in fact, when you realize that this is at the pinnacle of the life that we have here now, you start to realize, you start to see it everywhere in the New Testament. That in fact, everything that we're called to do is by the Spirit. Everything that God is accomplishing in us now is through the work of His Holy Spirit, which only comes to us through the work of Jesus. So it's all connected. Even our ability to understand God and His goodness, I pointed here because we were singing that song. It's not hanging out back there, I don't think. But to sing and to recognize His goodness, it's not something that just comes to us. It comes to us by the Spirit of God. It's the very Spirit of God that allows us to see past the things in this world that have yet to be conformed to His goodness and to still be able to sing, God, You're good. That's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God in us that allows us to relate to God who, is all-powerful, right? And is holding all of this together to be able to relate to Him as the good Father that He is. It's the Spirit of God that allows us to do that. Let's just read that real quick. Let's read that in Romans 8. This will be a little bit of a refresher. I'm not going to really preach from it tonight. The last time I read this was a while ago. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans 8. You can follow along. And we're just going to read the first half. I'm going to back up one verse to 7:25. It says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." And you're going to see two main themes here. obviously the Spirit is one, but it's specifically life in the Spirit. And you're going to see this other theme. It's living according to the flesh. So those two things are like polar opposites. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I want to read one more passage. It's in Acts chapter 1. And this is really the beginning of this significant shift for the people of God. And as we read this earlier about the common denominator between people like Moses and us being the Spirit of God, while that's true, there's something that we have that they didn't, and it's the Spirit inhabiting us. The Spirit inhabiting his people. And it's why we can look at a place like this and, as great as it is, realize that our hope is not here. It's actually in the presence of God going with us wherever we are. And there was this shift that took place for God's people, and you can imagine it might not have been an easy one, going from this idea of the temple as one of these places where the Spirit of God resided, and you went to the temple, you went to worship, and you knew that God's presence was there. But in Acts, Jesus tells God's people to wait. Don't go to the temple, but wait for the presence to come to you. Wait for the presence of God to show up. And it's not like that hadn't happened in the Old Testament. But the main difference is that when God's presence came in the past, it came and then it left. It came, then it left. When we talk about seasons, There were seasons where the presence of God was there, and there were seasons where it wasn't. But now, for the people of God, and what Acts really shows us is that in Acts, when the Spirit of God came to the people of God, it came and it didn't leave. It came and it remained. And so the presence of God being with you is not a season anymore. Is that good? It's very good. Let's read this. In verse 3 of Acts 1, it says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?'" I think they thought that's what the Holy Spirit was going to do when he came. And Jesus said this to them, "It is not for you to know the times or days the Father has set forth by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I think there's a pattern for us here. And it's not just a pattern by which we first receive the Holy Spirit, okay? I think there were some unique things about this moment, if we can say it like that. But at the same time, I think one of the things that Jesus was telling his people in this moment was that what you need is going to come from me. What you need, I want you to wait for. What you need to accomplish what I've called you to. And remember, he had given them that commission. It's going to come from me. But it's not just going to come from me. It's going to come from me to you. And then it's going to come from me to you through you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's life in the Holy Spirit. And it requires some things of us. And I believe one of those things, and this is what I want to close with tonight, I believe is it requires us to wait for him. It requires us to expect. And those two things aren't that dissimilar. Like, their waiting was in expectation. Otherwise, it would have been pretty painful, I think, for them to wait. But I think they knew that without Jesus, without him sending the reinforcements that he promised, they were dead in the water. And I wonder if perhaps some of the challenge of us walking in the Spirit the way that God intended is not so much not knowing how, but maybe it's actually not coming to terms with just how much we actually need that. Like, I don't think it's that complicated. So we're going to teach on some things in the coming weeks. But even tonight, I didn't want to make it informational, so to speak. Because I think a lot of times the challenges that we face aren't merely informational. Because we've read these things. We've heard people talk about these things. But it goes deeper than that. And I think it does come to a lot of times the flesh that Romans is talking about willfully choosing to not walk in anymore. It comes down to us actually saying, okay, God, I'm not going to do that. It comes down to us saying, God, I can't do that. Not only do I not want to, but I can't. I cannot go where you want to take me. I can't do what you've called me to here by myself. I can't even do it with the help of others. I need your presence. Let's pray. And what better way to come into this new time and place and season than with that prayer? And I don't know about you, but even as I'm sharing those words, I just have to confess that there's a part of me that is at war with those words and with that truth. And there's a part of me that clings to self-sufficiency. And there's a part of me that sometimes fails to see how much I need God, not only on days like today, but on days where I'm on vacation. On days that just seem ordinary. On days where I'm not waiting with some directive for something big to happen. And the truth is, all of it is meant to be lived in the power of His presence. And so, God, it's my prayer that God, your truth would take us there to increasing measure. God, by your presence, the same presence that you want to empower us to walk in this new life, that by that same presence, God, that you would reveal to us places where we're just doing life on our own right now, where we're not relying on you the way that we need to. Maybe because we think we can do it on our own, or maybe just because it's really uncomfortable to be in that place, or maybe because we just haven't gotten desperate enough. Whatever it is, God, I just pray that you would show us, maybe even now, just one place where that's true. And that we would respond by waiting on you, and we would respond by asking you to show us, God, what does it actually look like to depend on you? What does it look like in this area of our life to wait for you to provide? What does it look like for your presence to do the work, to do the heavy lifting, to do what we're trying to do? Perhaps on our own. And God, we as your people, we're thankful for how you've carried us. And we know that what we've had up to this point isn't enough for where you want to take us. And so God, we're asking for more. We're asking for more of your presence. We're asking for more reliance on you. We're asking for more of a dependence on each other and in the presence of God in each other. And God, we're asking for just a collective heart to wait on you and to follow you, God. And God, I pray in the coming days that there would be fresh testimony of your power and your provision, of you showing up and doing what couldn't have been done any other way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right. We're going to take communion tonight. When you're ready, you can come and receive, and we'll close in worship.